Good morning, Tanner. So thankful to see so many back with us today. We've got a lot of folks that are back with us for the first time in weeks, and we're so thankful that you're back. We've had a lot of folks that's been out sick, and we've had a lot of folks that's been having to take extra precautions. We also have people that are tuning in at home and all over this country and in at least two countries in other parts of the world. We're just thankful for those that are tuning in and for those that are present as we seek to worship God together this morning. After we're dismissed today, after the closing prayer, we're going to honor our graduates. And we've got four precious young folks, and we're excited to watch them as they get ready to head out into the wild blue yonder and see what's out there for them. We also want to give you an update on Elizabeth Ovell. She is responding well. She does not appear to be in any pain at the present, but a 21-year-old suffering two heart attacks is a pretty severe situation. And so, of course, if you're not familiar, this has been in the bulletin, and we've been announcing it, that this is a friend of Juliana Bivens, a fellow student at Calhoun in the nursing program with her, and suffered from COVID-19, was on the ventilator, got out of the hospital, then had to go back in, and they're hoping to wean her off the ventilator starting later today. But as was said in the latest update, it's a work in progress, so we'll just see what happens. But keep her in your prayers. Our nation is healing. Things are getting better. Things are getting more. They're not normal by any means, but they're going back to closer to normal. At least 2.1 million people went back to work over this last month. And so we're seeing the unemployment rate drop drastically, and more businesses are opening back up. I got really mad, though, at Wendy's last week. I'm going to make this announcement. I'm really ticked at Wendy's. I went in there Monday and had the best salad I've ever had in my life. Their Southwest avocado salad, oh, that thing is good. And so I went back. I went back over there on Wednesday to have another one, and the doors were locked. They decided to not have anybody in, just doing drive-through. I just left. I left because there was 400 people in line. I wasn't going to do that. But I was like, why'd you open up on Monday and not on Wednesday? There's no accounting for what people do. We're in a very strange situation. Our government is in a crisis mode. Our businesses are in a crisis mode. People not sure what to do. They make one decision, then change it. School system, same way. They make one decision, what they're going to do, and then they change it. And because nobody's really sure how they're going to handle all this. There's only one that's absolutely certain of what's going on, and that's God. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly what we need. And God is going to give us what we need. He's going to help us as long as we remain faithful to Him. He is going to help us through this entire situation. Now, with that in mind, I'm going to bring a lesson this morning that I call, When Sin Moves In, God Moves Out. And I'd like for you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 18 through 25, a rather scathing passage, but it has a good message and a good point that we want to make this morning in our lesson. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Excuse me. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's a rather challenging passage. God gave them up. People whose foolish hearts were darkened. People who said they're wise, but in fact were being foolish because they worshipped and served that which has been created rather than the one who created it. And so they are without excuse because the evidence is there that God is and that God is in charge. Now, last year, we studied from the book of Habakkuk in the latter part of last year, and we saw a very confused prophet. He was concerned that God was missing something because the wicked oppressed the righteous and nothing seemed to happen to them. It seemed to him that God was actually blessing the wicked and forsaking his own people. Listen to the question that Habakkuk asked the Lord in Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 13. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously? In other words, why are you blessing? Why are you blessing them? And hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he. See, Habakkuk is confused about why God, who will not dwell in the presence of sin, who will not allow sin to come into his presence, would allow sinful men to oppress the righteous, and seemingly with no consequences. Well, see, here's the deal. Man realizes the purity of God. We realize the sinless nature of God. That God cannot lie, God cannot sin. God cannot tempt men to do evil. He will never force men into doing that which is evil. And God cannot dwell in the presence of sin. Listen to a couple of other verses. Psalm 5 verse 4. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. In Revelation 21, 27, a passage we're all familiar with, talking about heaven, it says, but there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. There's Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21 that says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I have also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not go to heaven. Those whose practice is to do these things. This is not to say someone who slips and sins in one of these categories can't go to heaven, but those who practice, those who this is their life, this is how they live, they cannot go to heaven. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10, we know this passage. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. They can't go to heaven if they practice sinful things, no matter who you are, no matter where you are. Anyone who practices unrighteousness will not go to heaven. This is not to say that God doesn't love these people. He loved them enough to send his son to die for them, to pay for their sins. God offers salvation to anyone who's willing to turn from their sin and follow him. So this is not as some might try to say, hate speech. This is not, as some would try to say, discrimination. This is simply stating the facts. God gets to tell us what is right and what is wrong. He has the right to tell us because he is the creator and we are the created. He is the master and we are his servants. And so he has the right to tell us what is good and what is evil. And it doesn't matter what you think, and it doesn't matter what I think, or what medical science thinks, or what the government thinks, or anybody thinks. What God said is true. No matter what God said is true. We can try to argue, we can try to rationalize, and people do. But the fact of the matter is that those who practice unrighteousness will not go to heaven. And we need to understand that. Many people, though, are going to continue in their wickedness. And these wicked people are going to oppress and mistreat the genuine servants of God. This is going to happen. It's happening now. And it's going to continue. And Christians struggle we struggle to understand why good people suffer at the hands of wicked people. And if God hates sin, how can he let this continue? We've had some lively discussions in our Bible classes over the past, I'd say, 6-8 months about God being with his sinful people. At some point, God leaves, but when does God leave? And we've had some really good discussions about that. But does God ever give up? And if so, when does God give up? Does God stay with his people no matter what sin they practice? No matter how much they continue in their sin? Does God continue to stay with them? Or at some point will God depart from sinful man? And if God will leave, when does he do so? These are all good questions. Now, I want you to notice that God will always give men an opportunity to repent. But if sin continues, God will leave that person behind. Are you listening? If sin is not repented of, if efforts aren't made to stop, and a commitment made to follow God and do what's right, at some point God will leave that person behind. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, and I'm doing this from the King James Version because of those wonderful suffixes, ETH, that are on the end of the word, which means a continuing action. Now, I need you to remember that. It means a continuing action. Whoever committeth sin. It's not whoever does a sin. But if your practice is to continue in a sin, that's what it's talking about. Continuing in a sin. Whoever committeth sin transgresseth. Continuing to transgress also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him, see, there you go, continuing with Jesus, continuing to walk with him and spend your time in prayer and in study and in trying to bring others to Christ, and you trying to clean up your act, you're trying to live righteous before the Lord, getting your attitude right, your heart right, your actions right, your life right. You continue to make that effort, you're abiding with Jesus. And if you abide with Jesus continuing, then you're not going to continue in sin. Whoever abideth in him sinneth not. You see how that works? You're not continuing in sin. And whoever continues in sin, whoever sinneth, hath not seen him, neither known him. When Jesus says to a person on the day of judgment, depart from me, I never knew you, this is to a person who didn't stop practicing their sin. This is a person that never really repented. That's who that is. He will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Now, here's a question. Do we all make mistakes? Yeah, shake your heads this way. They can't see it, but I can. Shake your heads this way. Yeah, we all make mistakes, don't we? We all mess up, don't we? Well, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we mess up, fess up. Fess up. Confess to God your sins. When you've messed up, fess up and move on. And don't continue to wallow in sinful practices. Turn away from sin. Now, I think about an alcoholic who struggles with alcohol. I think about a drug addict who struggles with addiction. I think about a habitual liar who struggles with always discerning what is the truth and what is a lie, because sometimes people that tell so many lies, they can't seem to tell when something is true and when it's not. They get their mind so messed up. I think about somebody that has bad habits, of sinful habits that they're struggling with. There's going to be lots of failure. There's going to be lots of failure. As long as you keep trying, God will continue to forgive. But when we quit trying, when we start practicing that sin, when that becomes our life, when that is what we do, that is the way we live, God will not stay with us. He will, at some point, depart. Now, if we will not confess our sins, will we be forgiven? No. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we will not confess, we will not be forgiven. James 4:8 suggests that a change has to be made in our lives for God to be with us. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. But what if a man will not draw near to God? What if a man will not repent? What if a man continues to rebel, continues to live in his sin, will not turn from his sin? Before I answer that, let me clarify something. Hebrews 13:5-6 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. God will not abandon us. But what if we abandon God? See, people look at that passage and say, hey, God said he'll never leave, so he's never going to leave. What if we leave? Jesus said, no man can take them from my Father's hand. No man can take them from my hand. But what if we leave of our own accord? What if we leave? Will God hold us against our will? Will God make us be Christians if we don't want to be? Well, of course not. Of course not. He doesn't work like that. God will not abandon us unless we abandon him. If we reject his rule over us and we walk away, will God follow us like a faithful dog? I'll go with you wherever you go and I'll be with you whatever you want to do. That is blasphemy, folks. God will not do that. The simple matter is, he is the Lord and we are the servants. And if you're determined to be lost, whether you're here in this building today or whether you're listening online, if you're determined to be lost, as the old song says, you can go your own way. Or as an even older song says, I did it my way. Well, you just go ahead and do that. And if you abandon God, he will not follow you. And at some point, God will leave you alone. I want to close this morning with a couple of stories. In Exodus 39, Moses and the children of Israel had completed the construction of the tabernacle. They followed God's instructions to the letter. That's in Exodus 39. And in chapter 40, God instructed them exactly how all the furnishings were to be placed in the temple, how all of them were to be prepared and arranged, consecrated with oil, and all of those that served in the tabernacle, were to wash themselves and to be clean, put on clean clothes, and be dressed exactly as God had directed. And all things were done exactly as God instructed them to do. And only after every detail had been followed do we read in Exodus 40, beginning in verse 34, then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Did you get that? Did you pick up on that? When they had everything ready, when they had done exactly what God told them to do, the presence of the Lord entered the tabernacle. And they could not enter it. It was so overwhelming. And the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day to indicate to the children of Israel, you stay right here. You're not moving today. And when the cloud would go up, then they could pack up the tabernacle and move on until the cloud came back. And then they had to set up the tent and get it ready. And it was a cloud by day and fire by night. And the presence of the Lord was there in the tabernacle. But now we move on in time a little bit. The Levite Asaph wrote in Psalm 78 of all the wonderful works that God had done for the Israelite people, how they had continued to disobey God's commands and went after other gods. And I want you to notice in Psalm 78, verse 56 beginning, God's ultimate response to them. Remember how when everything was done exactly as God said, His presence filled the tabernacle, filled that tent, that incredible tent, that multi-million dollar tent. The presence of the Lord filled that tent. But in Psalm 78, verse 56, yet they tested and provoked the Most High God and did not keep His testimonies, but turned back and acted unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. For they provoked Him to anger with their high places and moved Him to jealousy with their carved images. When God heard this, He was furious and greatly abhorred Israel, so that He forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh. Did you see? Do you hear? He forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh. He left. His presence left them. He left them to their own devices. The tent He had placed among men, and delivered His strength into captivity and His glory into the enemy's hands. God departed from the tabernacle when the people persisted in their sins. The same thing happened with the temple. I'm not going to go into this in detail this morning, but suffice it to say, in 2 Chronicles 5, Solomon finished the temple, put in all the furnishings, and done exactly like God said, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple, just like it did with the tabernacle. But then, just like before, Israel sinned against God. They followed after other gods. They were not faithful to God, and God had had enough. And in Ezekiel 8, verses 5 through 9, we read that the presence of the Lord left, went far away from His sanctuary, from His temple. The presence of the Lord left Solomon's temple. Now, if you read the bulletin article, the second story, if you read the bulletin article, you read about King Saul and his shenanigans. Here was a man head and shoulders above the crowd that didn't really want to be king, was a very humble man, like a child, humble like a child. Didn't know what to do. And Samuel had anointed him king over Israel. And the people loved Saul at first. And Saul was humble at first. But then it started getting to his head. It's good to be king, right? You got power. You got control. Life and death. Who do you make war against? How much tax do you charge? Who gets to keep their head and whose head's going to roll? It's great to be king. And it went to his head. And instead of continuing to be faithful to God, Saul became proud and arrogant and lifted up. And on one day, he was told, go and kill all the Amalekites. Utterly destroy the Amalekites. And he didn't do it. He didn't do it. And then he was told, you wait for me, I'll offer the sacrifice when I get there, Samuel said. But he didn't wait. He offered the sacrifice himself. He didn't wait. Only a priest could offer a sacrifice. Just because you're king doesn't make you a priest. So he sinned against God. And God, the Spirit of God, left Saul. You read that if you read the bulletin. If you haven't, read it. Now, I want you to notice something David said. What David said. In Psalm 51, verse 11, Nathan had confronted David over his sin of murdering Uriah and taking Uriah's wife Bathsheba. And the whole fiasco, this shame and reproach upon the people of Israel and upon God that David did as king. And David cried out to God in humble repentance. And in Psalm 51, one of the most heart-rending psalms in all the scriptures, David makes this statement. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Why would David say that? Because he saw it happen to Saul. He saw it happen to Saul. Now, brothers and sisters, we need to remember a very important truth. If it could happen in the Old Testament, it could happen today. And if we forsake the Lord, if we do not remain faithful to Him, if we're not serious about being Christian, not just coming to church and not just playing church, but if we're not serious about being Christians today and tonight and tomorrow morning and tomorrow night, and we get up and we pray and we go to bed and we pray and we study God's word and we try to live these truths in our lives, treating our fellow man right, respecting and showing God's glory to people, letting God be glorified by the way we live our lives. If we're not serious about being Christians, about breaking the bad habits, about controlling our tongue, about being careful with how we say it and what we say, about being careful and concerned and compassionate toward others, if we don't treat our fellow man right, how can we say, God is with me? God is with me. Listen to me. When God departs from His people, He stops listening to their prayers, Jeremiah 11, 14, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. He hides His face, Psalm 13, verse 1, and Micah 3 and verse 4. And God will give them up at some point. And this passage in Romans 1, verses 24 through 32, is one of the most caustic and sobering passages of Scripture found in the whole Bible. About when God gave them up to their uncleanness. They were so determined to do what they wanted to do, God backed up and let them. And it is a devastating rebuke of men and women who practice sinfulness. Now, obviously, in addition to this, God withholds His blessings, and ultimately they are rejected on the day of judgment. So when does God depart from His people? That's been the question this whole lesson. We know that God at some point will depart if we continue to practice sin. But when does that happen? I don't know. And you don't know. And because we don't know, we had better take this very seriously. We don't know when we're going to leave this world. We don't know when Jesus is coming to get us and take us home. We don't know when God will say, enough is enough. I'm through with this person. Or I'm through with this country. Or I'm through with this congregation. At least there were seven churches of Asia that received letters. Two of them received commendation. Five of them received threats. They said, if you don't repent, Jesus said, if you don't repent, I will come and take away your candlestick. What did that mean? It meant you will cease being my people. I will no longer recognize you as my people. That's what that meant. So we can't afford to take a chance. Well, maybe God will, you know, let me get away with this one more time. Friends, we cannot afford to take a chance like that. When does God leave His people? God's the only one who can answer that. So we better just be faithful. And when we sin, we had better repent. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Just remember, my friends, when sin moves in, God moves out. Don't let that happen to you. If you're not a Christian, you need to become a child of God. You need to come into Christ. You need to be born again of water and the Spirit. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then repent. Turn from your sin. Commit your life to the service of the Lord. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ that He is the Son of God. And be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. That God's blood, or the blood of God's Son, can wash your sins away. And you'll be raised up to walk in newness of life as a child of God. And if you're already one of His people, but you've been indifferent, you've been cold, you've been negligent, or even rebellious against God, repent and come back before God gives up on you. Come back to Him before it's too late. Whatever your need, if there's a way we can help you today, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.